Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm.
Hello, everybody. Here we are again. We're going to finish our program from Saturday. We had some technical difficulties, so we weren't able to finish our program on Kenneth Hagin. So this is part two of the broadcast. We got about 20 minutes into the broadcast on Saturday when we lost our connection. So anyway, this is part two of Kenneth E. Hagin, who has since passed away, of course. Did he die, go to hell, and come back to tell about it? Did that happen? I don't know. Is it possible? Is it possible for that to happen? It seems like a far-fetched kind of fairy tale story, doesn't it? Because Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So, if the word of God says it is appointed unto man once to die, how many times can you die? Who's right? Is Kenneth E. Hagin right? Or is the word of God right? I would say Hebrews 9:27 is right. That's what I would say. So I don't know how Kenneth can say that he died. I think he says he died three times. He died three times. I think he was 10 or 11 at the time. Anyway, I'll play some of the audio from his testimony, which if you wanted to hear the whole testimony, you can hear it on YouTube. YouTube has it. And they have different versions of his hell testimony. I think he even had a book where he talked about it. About what happened to him when he was a young man, and how somehow, now, Kenneth E. Hagin, he could always spin a yarn. I'm telling you, he knew how to tell a tale. And this is really a tall tale, if I ever heard one, because how does somebody die, as he claims he did? He claims he died, and he went to hell. He got to the gates of hell, and then somehow he comes back. He comes back, and then he dies again, and then he comes back again, and then he's dying a third time. And he comes back again. I think finally, the third time, finally he gets saved. Now, that's not possible. Maybe he was having a nightmare, but biblically, that's just not possible. Nobody goes to hell and then comes back if they're not saved. They don't get to come back. What is that, reincarnation? I don't think so. The testimony is just so wild. And of course, we talked a little bit about, if you know anything about the history of Hagin and where he got a lot of his teachings, I mentioned it on Saturday that there's a book called The Different Gospel. It's by McConnell. And D.R. McConnell. It's McConnell. It's an excellent book. And he talks about Kenneth Hagin's plagiarism. He also talks about the history of E.W. Kenyon. But I've got a chapter in my book, Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? I've got a chapter on Kenneth Hagin, and I'll read a little bit from that right now. Kenneth Hagin was called the father of the faith movement, and he was the founder of Rhema Bible Training Center in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He died of heart disease. The reports say he collapsed at home and he died a few days later in a cardiac intensive care unit. He was born in 1917 and he died in 2003. The irony of it is that he taught that Christians should not die sick, as we could confess our way out of sickness, but it did not work for Kenneth E. Hagin, apparently. Our faith did not fail either because we got sick or died sick. We get the ultimate healing, of course, when we die. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I never heard of anyone confessing they wanted cancer, yet Word of Faith people say, oh, he must have had a bad confession, or they must have had sin in their life. We were the most uncompassionate bunch going. We were the love people, yet we looked down on the sick. And if somebody died sick, we blamed them for dying. We believe in heaven, but if anyone went there, we were upset that they died with an illness. Even though the Bible says it is appointed by a sovereign God to die. So remember, now I was in the Word of Faith movement for 15 years, and I remember when somebody died, especially one of these well-known preachers, we would say, oh, how did they die sick? There must have been some sin in their life, or they must have, maybe they confessed it. And maybe they made the wrong confessions, but it's so messed up because I never heard anybody confessing that they wanted cancer. Who makes that kind of confession? And then they get cancer, and then Word of Faith people say, oh, the devil gave me cancer. And then they're confessing to try to get better. So it really is a weird movement. And anyway, Kenneth Hagin died of cardiac arrest, and he died in an intensive care unit. But there are some other things, of course, about his plagiarism, where he plagiarizes Kenyon. Of course, he denied it, but if you look at the comparisons, and you probably could find them online, if you go to compare Kenneth Hagin's writings with E.W. Kenyon's, and here's an example of Kenneth Hagin's writings. The 22nd Psalm gives a graphic picture of the crucifixion of Jesus, more vivid than that of John, Matthew, or Mark, who witnessed it. Now here's E.W. Kenyon. Of course, E.W. Kenyon came long before Hagin. The 22nd Psalm gives a graphic picture of the crucifixion of Jesus. It is more vivid than that of John, Matthew, or Mark, who witnessed it. Now that's almost word for word. But yeah, Kenyon said he didn't plagiarize Kenyon. But the thing that, let's call it an untruth, of course, it sounds like a lie to me because, first of all, I can't trust anything Kenneth Hagin ever has to say, really, because he didn't tell the truth about dying and going to hell. How can you die three times and you're not saved, and then you get saved your third trip up from hell or whatever, he finally calls out to the Lord? And the thing that when you hear this testimony, the thing that gets me too is that he says his grandmother is there in the room with him, and this is going on for 10 minutes, and he wants his mother, he wants to say goodbye to his mother, and his mother's praying. But if they knew that he's dying, and he died three times, and then he was coming back, and I think he was talking about being in hell, why didn't his mother or his grandmother come into the room and say, "Ken, hurry up, get born again, give your life to Jesus before it's too late"? But the whole story is just so odd. And then he talks about that there was so much glory in the room that his mother couldn't get in the room. She was being blown back. And then traffic was stopped on the street. Anyway, it sounds like something that it sounds like fiction, really. But anyway, let me play this first part here. And this is Hagen talking about it.
But I was born again on the 22nd day of April, 1933, on a Saturday night, in the south bedroom, 405 North College Street, at 20 minutes till 8 o'clock. I know I was there. At 7:30, my heart stopped beating. I leaped out of my body like a diver leaping off of a diving board, began to descend down, 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 until I looked up and the lights of the earth faded away and darkness encompassed me around about. I came down to the very gates of hell. And a creature took me by the arm to escort me in. I didn't know till years later I read in Isaiah that he said, "Hell from beneath is moved to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee." But thank God there was a voice that spoke. I don't know what he said, because it wasn't in English. When that voice spoke, that whole, all of it just shook like there's an earthquake on. And it's like an irresistible pull or a magnet just pulled me back, and I floated back away from the gates of hell. Then I came up. I came up on the porch outside the south bedroom. I saw the giant trees in the yard. I came right through the wall and leaped inside my body through my mouth, like a man would slip his foot inside of his boot in the morning time. And I said to my grandmother, who held me in her arms, "Granny, I'm going again, and I don't think I'll be back." And I left word with my mother, and I'll go into it. I left word with all the folks, and my heart stopped again. And I leaped out of my body and descended. And then, thank God, that voice spoke, and I came out of that place. This time I came up at the foot of the bed. And then I said, "Granny, I'm going again. We say in the world the third time's charm. And I won't be back." She said, "Son, I thought you weren't coming back that time." I left a word for my grandfather. My heart stopped. I leaped out of my body. I descended till I came again to the very gates of hell. Thank God that voice spoke, whatever he said. And an irresistible pull pulled me back away from the gates of hell. And then up until this time I came up beside the bed. But as I came up out of that place through the darkness, the Bible talks about being cast into the outer darkness, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Darkness that's darker, you couldn't see your hand, it was 1 inch in front of your face. And when I came through that darkness, I cried out, because up till now I think this is an hallucination. Can't be true. But in the darkness I cried out, "God, I belong to the church. I've been baptized in water. I'm trying to tell him I'm going the wrong direction." But there's no answer. I cried again a little louder, "God, I belong to the church. I've been baptized in water." No answer. I cried out the third time, and if I could do it the way I did it there, it would almost scare you out of your seat. "God, God," screamed, "I've been baptized in water. I believe in being baptized in water. I believe in joining the church. But after you're born again, and I'll tell you, I began to pray, coming out of the darkness. I began to pray, ask the Lord to forgive me and save me. Thank God he did. I said he did. I came back inside my body, and my mouth physically picked up my prayer in the middle of a sentence. This time I prayed out of my mouth, but I'm still praying out of my spirit, the inward man. And the peace of God. It seemed to me like a 2,000-pound weight rolled off of my chest. Now I don't care whether I die or not. Praise God, I'm happy. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Now that sounds to me like that's a tall tale, really. He says at one point that it must be a hallucination. Yeah, it was a hallucination, all right, because it's totally unscriptural. Nobody dies. And he claims his heart stops. So when your heart stops, you die. You die when your heart stops. Everybody dies of heart failure eventually because your heart stops, and that's when you die. So, but he is the type, he's one of those people that he goes down to hell three times. And I noticed something else in that testimony is that he says, well, I belong to the church. And he gives all the excuses about why he shouldn't be in hell. But he didn't say, I'm not born again. So then how did he know? Later on, he says that he prayed, and then he asked Jesus into his life, and he asked Jesus to forgive him of his sins. How did he even know that? Because a few minutes before that, he's saying, oh, I shouldn't be here because I belong to the church and I'm a good person or whatever. So the whole story, it's just ludicrous, really. But anyway, here's another part.
I got born again on the bed of sickness the 22nd day of April, 1933, at 20 minutes to 8 o'clock in the south bedroom of 405 North College Street in the city of McKinney, Texas. I'm 15, I'd be 16 in August. And my heart stopped. When my heart stopped, I felt the circulation cut, you know, faster than you can tell it, faster than you can snap your finger. Cut off my feet, my toes and my feet just went numb like you'd gone to sleep. And up to my knees and my stomach. And I leaped out of my body, and I began to descend. I was lying in bed. I'd been sick all the week. In fact, I'd been sickly all my life. Never ran and prayed like other little children. Well, limitedly, but not fully. And the doctors had been called. Doctors made house calls. But Dr. Wysong, old Dr. W.S. Wysong Sr., he was over at the hospital. Well, they contacted him there, and he said he'd come to our house as soon as he got through at the hospital, making his calls. So they're waiting for him to come. And Grandpa's clock struck 7:30. My heart stopped. Faster than I can tell you. The circulation cut all the way down the end of my toes just suddenly, like your feet go to sleep. They just went numb. Faster than I can tell it. My toes, my feet, my ankles, my knees, my hips, my stomach. And I leaped out of my body like a man would leap off of a diving board into a swimming pool. I leaped out of my body, and I began to descend like you're going down in a well or in a cavern. And so I'm descending, feet first, descending, down, 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 until the lights of the earth faded away from above me, until darkness encompassed me around about. Darkness is so dark, you couldn't see your hand if it's 1 inch in front of your face. Darkness, it was so dense that it seemed if you had a knife, you could just cut a chunk of it out. And the further down you went, the darker and the hotter it became. Till finally way down beneath me, on the wall of darkness, I could see fingers of light playing on the wall of darkness. And in a few seconds, it seemed like an eternity, but it had to be only a few moments. I came to the bottom of the pit.
when I came to the bottom of the pit, there was some kind of a creature that met me. I never looked at it. I knew he was there. And the reason I didn't look was that we approached the gates into hell itself, and that creature took me by the arm. Now, I didn't know till years later that the word of God says in the book of Isaiah, hell from beneath is moved to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee. And so that creature met me. But thank God, when he put his hand on my arm to escort me in, there was a voice that spoke. And I don't know what he said or how many words he spoke. When those words were spoken, that whole place just like there was an earthquake on. That creature took his hand off of my back. There was like a suction to my back part, and I came floating back away from the gates of hell, floating back. And then I